Amen. So we're there in Daniel chapter 6. And in Daniel 6, we see that Daniel, of course, and the children of Israel, they are in captivity. And Daniel 6 begins with Darius the Mede just coming into power. In Daniel 5, we see Darius taking over the kingdom from Belshazzar, the king of Babylon. And in Daniel 6, the chapter begins with Darius setting up his kingdom. Look at verse number 1 again, Daniel 6, 1. The Bible says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom." Verse 2, it says, "And over these, 3 presidents." So notice, as Darius is setting up his world empire, he decides to put 120 princesses to be over his kingdom. And above those, he's going to choose 3 presidents in verse 2. Notice what it says. It says, "Of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage." So we see Daniel being put in a position of trust. Daniel is put as a president to make sure that there is no damage done unto the king. So we see Daniel promoted to a place of authority, a place of trust. But notice what it says in verse 3. It says, "Then this Daniel," it says, "was preferred above the presidents and princes." You see, Darius looked at his kingdom. He looked at those that he had in his authority, in his realm. And of all those people in his kingdom, he said, "You know what? I prefer Daniel above everyone else." And so we see Daniel was different. Daniel was set apart. Darius, if you asked him, "Hey, who do you like? Who do you prefer in your kingdom?" He would have said, "You know what? I prefer Daniel." You say, "Why?" Well, verse 3 again, it says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes." Why? It says, "Because," notice, "because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." You see, here it tells us that Darius preferred Daniel. He liked Daniel. He enjoyed Daniel. Why? Because it says an excellent spirit was in him. You know, what is your spirit? Your spirit is your attitude. Your spirit is how you come across to other people. And here it says that Daniel's spirit was excellent. Meaning what? Meaning his attitude, his behavior, it wasn't just normal. It wasn't just good. No, it was excellent, meaning it was outstanding, meaning it was extremely good. And so your spirit, your attitude is how you come across to other people. You know, an expression that you and I would use is when we say, "Well, that person's in good spirits," meaning that they have a good attitude, that they're in a good mood, that they just have a good vibe about them. And Daniel was preferred above everyone else. Why? Because he had a different attitude, a different spirit than everyone else. You're there in Daniel 6, go back to Daniel 5 if you would. Daniel chapter 5. And throughout the life of Daniel, we see that the name of Daniel, the reputation of Daniel, was always connected to his spirit, to his attitude. When people thought of the name Daniel in his time, they would have thought, "Man, that guy has an excellent attitude." Daniel 5. And in Daniel 5, we are now under Belshazzar, a different king, a different nation, under Belshazzar, the king of Babylon. And notice the reputation that this man Daniel has in Daniel 5. Look at verse number 10. It says in verse 10, "Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king," now the king here is King Belshazzar, a different king than in Daniel 6. It says, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed." Notice what she says. She says, "There is a man in thy kingdom." And she begins to describe this person in his kingdom. It says, "In whom is the spirit of the holy gods? In the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers." So here we see the queen giving the reputation of Daniel to a different king. And she's telling King Belshazzar, "Hey, there's a guy in your kingdom who in the days of thy father Nebuchadnezzar, he was made a master of the magicians, a master of the astrologers." You say, why? Notice what it says in verse 12. It says, for as much as, notice, an excellent spirit. See, the first thing that this woman says about Daniel is the fact that this man, his attitude was outstanding, that his spirit was different. He had an excellent spirit. It says, "For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts," notice, "were found in the same Daniel." You see, when people talked about Daniel in this time, what they talked about was the fact that his attitude, his mood, the way he came across to people was like no one else. That his spirit, it was outstanding, it was excellent. And so we see that his reputation was connected to that of having a great attitude. Keep your place there in Daniel, but go to Philippians 2. Keep your place there in Daniel. Go to Philippians chapter number 2. And so your attitude, your spirit, is how you come across to other people. It's your temperament. It's your attitude. It's your spirit. And look, and you and I, as Christians, we are called to have an excellent spirit. We are called to have a spirit like no other, a spirit that stands out, a spirit, an attitude that is not just normal, but that is excellent. You're in Philippians, and if you're in Philippians, keep your place in Philippians. We're going to be there throughout the whole sermon. But in Philippians 2, look at verse number 14. Philippians 2:14, the Bible says, it says, do all things, notice, without murmurings and disputings. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And look, you and I, we are called to have a good attitude in life, an excellent spirit. And it says, do all things, notice, not with a bad attitude, not by murmuring, not by disputing. It says we should do all things with a good attitude. You say, why? Well, look at verse 15. It says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, notice, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. It says, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You see, the Bible says that the way you and I will shine as lights in this crooked and perverse nation, and look, and no doubt that we live in a crooked and perverse nation, a nation that is not right with God, that is not trying to live for the Lord. And the Bible says that the way you and I are going to stand out, how we're going to shine as lights, is going to be connected to the attitude that we have in life. See, when we have a bad testimony, a bad attitude, when we do things as we're murmuring and complaining and we have a bad attitude, look, that is a bad testimony for the world. See, in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, the way we're going to shine, the way we're going to be different, the way that you and I will be set apart and preferred, like Daniel, was by doing all things with a good attitude, having an excellent spirit, not murmuring, not complaining. And look, we live in a day where people want to complain about everything. They want to complain about their work, about their life, about every situation. Look, there's always a reason to complain. But you and I, we're called to be different. We are called to have an excellent spirit, and that will set us apart from everyone else. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, rejoice evermore. The word rejoice means to be happy. It means to be joyful. And so we are called to have an attitude that is different than the world. Not an attitude that is complaining, that is murmuring, that's having a bad attitude. No, we are called to have an excellent attitude. Go back to Daniel, if you would. Go to Daniel 1. And throughout the life of Daniel, you know, if there's one thing that stands out throughout Daniel's life, it's the fact that this man, he had a great attitude. He had an excellent spirit. What made him apart was that he had a great attitude. And look, there's four things I want to talk about tonight that Daniel did that you and I must do. If you and I are going to have an excellent spirit, an excellent attitude, a good attitude in life, there's four things that Daniel did that you and I must do. Daniel chapter 1, and look at verse number 1, Daniel 1:1, the Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. I want you to notice how Daniel, the book of Daniel begins. The book of Daniel begins with Daniel living in his home, being with his family, being content in the nation of Judah, in where God wants him to be. But it says what? It says Nebuchadnezzar, king of Judah, he came and besieged it. It says in verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with the part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Notice verse 3, it says, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. So we see that Daniel, the book of Daniel begins with Daniel just living his life at home. No problems with his family. Life is good. But all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar comes and he takes him captive from his home. It says in verse 6, now among these, in verse 6, were the children of Judah. Notice Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So we see Daniel's world just got turned upside down. Daniel's world just got flipped over. He was taken from his home, taken from his life, taken from everything he knows. And look, and you and I, this would cause you and I to have a bad attitude. But Daniel, we see that Daniel, he did not have a bad attitude in his captivity. You see, what can I do to have an excellent spirit? Well, the first thing you can do, point number one, is an excellent spirit rolls with the punches. An excellent spirit, a good attitude, what they'll do is that they will roll with the punches. You see why? Because life is always changing. Circumstances in life are always changing. And here we see Daniel, that his circumstances in life are just completely different now. He was at home, but things were good. But now, guess what? Now he's in captivity. But that did not affect his spirit. Look at verse number 9. Daniel 1:9, it says, in Daniel 1:9, it says, now God had brought Daniel, notice, into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. I want you to notice that as Daniel goes into captivity, he is placed under the authority of Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs. But we see that if Daniel had a bad attitude, would Ashpenaz have loved Daniel and cared for Daniel? It says that God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. See, if you would have asked Ashpenaz, hey, Ashpenaz, you know, tell me about the people you have. He would have said, no, let me tell you about this man, Daniel. This man is a man who I favor. This man is a man who I love. And look, if Daniel had a bad attitude, a bad spirit about him, then this would not be the case. You see, a good attitude, an excellent spirit, what they'll do is they'll roll with the punches. And we see the circumstances in Daniel's life completely changed, but you know what? His attitude did not change. And look, your circumstances in life, they will always change. And things are always changing in life. Isn't it true this year? I mean, this year, things are just constantly changing. You have pandemics, you have lockdowns, you have a new president. Things are always, you have riots. Things are always changing all around us. But what should not change is our spirit, is our attitude. And we see Daniel, even though the outward change, the man Daniel, his attitude, his spirit did not change. And look, this is a theme throughout the life of Daniel. Go to Daniel 4, if you would, Daniel 4. And so we see Daniel, what, taken from his home, taken from his family. But his attitude was the same. And look, and throughout the book of Daniel, Daniel's circumstances in life are constantly changing. Here in Daniel 1, we saw him, what, under Ashpenaz. In Daniel 4, we're going to see him talking to Nebuchadnezzar. And notice Daniel's attitude, his spirit, now under Nebuchadnezzar. It says in verse 8, Daniel 4:8, it says, but at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. I want you to notice what Nebuchadnezzar says about Daniel. It says, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. See, Nebuchadnezzar looked at Daniel, and when he says the spirit of the holy gods, he's not referring to the God of the Bible, obviously. He's referring to his own God. But as Nebuchadnezzar is talking to Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar realized, man, there's something different about this guy, Daniel. That his spirit, the attitude about him is like nothing else I've seen on this earth. That it's out of this world. That it's extraordinary. The spirit of this man is of the holy gods. And before him, I told a dream, saying, notice verse 9 again, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know, notice, that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. You see, here we see Daniel now under Nebuchadnezzar. And if you would have asked Nebuchadnezzar, hey, Nebuchadnezzar, what do you think of Daniel? He would have said, man, his spirit is like no one else. His attitude is like no one else. His life circumstances are changing, but Daniel's attitude is great. Go to Daniel 5, if you would. Daniel 5. And now we have Daniel under a different circumstance in his life. Now we have Daniel under King Belshazzar. Daniel 5, verse 12. Again, Daniel 5, 12, it says, for as much, notice, as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts, notice, were found in the same Daniel. See, now we have Daniel under Belshazzar, and the first thing that we see of Daniel under his reign is that, man, this man has an excellent spirit about this guy. You see, all throughout, his circumstances always changing. He goes into captivity. He's under Ashpenaz. He's under Nebuchadnezzar. He's under Belshazzar. Go to Daniel 6, if you would. Daniel 6, next chapter. Now we have him under Darius. Daniel 6, 3. Notice what it says. Then this Daniel, in verse 3, was preferred above the presidents and princes. Why? Because an excellent spirit was in him. You see, the constant theme of this man, Daniel, is that he has a great attitude. That he has a great spirit. Put him in whatever circumstance you want, this man knows how to roll with the punches. This man knows how to handle change in his life. This man's attitude is not wavering, even though, yes, the outward circumstances in life are changing. Daniel 6, look at verse 28. It says, in the last verse 28, it says, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, notice, and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. See, for Daniel, it made no difference what the circumstance was. You could put him with Darius, Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar, Ashpenaz, Cyrus. The man's attitude did not change. And look, realize in your life, that circumstances in life are constantly changing. The only thing that's certain is the fact that life changes, that your life is going to change. Circumstances in life change. And look, you need to have an attitude that just rolls with the punches. Whatever changes come, say, you know what? I'm going to have a good attitude about it. I'm not going to change about it. You see, what made Daniel different? And look, you and I, we love to talk about Daniel and the prophecy and the dreams and the hard sayings, but let's get the character down first. Why don't we choose to be a Daniel by not complaining when our circumstances in life change? Have a good attitude in life. Can you place here in Daniel 6, we go to Philippians 4 again, Philippians chapter 4. You see, what should an excellent spirit do? An excellent spirit knows how to roll with the punches. And look, if anyone had a reason to have a bad attitude, it's Daniel. A man who was taken from his family, from his home, who is constantly being changed in his life. Things are always changing for him, but yet he has a great attitude in life. He has a good attitude, a great spirit about him. But look, you and I, we got to realize that life is always changing. Philippians 4, look at verse number 11. It says, here we have the Apostle Paul talking about the changes in his life. In chapter 4, verse 11, it says, not that I speak in respect of want. It says, for I have learned. It says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. See, Paul decided that in whatever state, whether it's in California, whether it's in Babylon, whether it's wherever it is, like Paul said, you know, I've learned in whatever state to be content. See, your good attitude, a positive attitude, an excellent spirit begins where? It begins in your mind. When you decide, hey, no matter what, I'm just going to learn to be happy. I'm going to learn to have a good attitude in life. In verse 12, it says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Notice, both to abound and to suffer need. You see, whether you're abased or whether you're abounding, you should always have the same attitude. And look, this year should be a test for your attitude, for your spirit. With all the changes that were going on, were you the Christian who was just complaining and murmuring and having a bad attitude over the changes? Or were you the one who just said, you know what, I'm just going to read my Bible. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to have a good attitude. I'm still going to go soul winning. Look, you can look at life two ways. You can complain and murmur and have a bad attitude, or you can be of an excellent spirit. And choose, look, whether I'm abased or I'm abounding, I'm not going to change. I'm going to learn to be content, because realize, look, your life is always changing. This year was crazy. Guess what? Next year is going to be crazier. But you should choose to be content. Choose to have an excellent spirit. Choose to be different by not complaining. You see, how do I stay positive to the changes of life? Well, look at verse number 6, Philippians 4, 6. It says, notice, be careful for nothing. It says, be careful for nothing. Meaning what? Meaning don't be overly consumed, overly worried about the things of the world. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Notice what it says in verse 7. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You say, how do I find the peace of God in an ever-changing world? Well, it's found through Christ Jesus. And look, and if you're the person who gets all bent out of shape because a new political party got in office, you're just showing that, you know what, your mind is on the things of the world. When it says be careful for nothing, you're overly consumed, overly worried about the things that God doesn't want you to worry about. It shows that your mind should be on the book, should be in the Word of God instead of out in the world. Why? Because look, the world will always change. Your life is going to change. Your life is constantly changing. But look, you just decide that I'm going to have a good attitude in my life. Look at verse 13, Philippians 4, 13. It says, notice, I can do all things. How's it done? It says, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. You see, some people, they get a bad attitude when things change. But it shows that, you know what, your mind, your heart is not in the things of God. You can do all things, but it's only done through Christ. Isaiah 26, 3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You see, how can I find the peace of God? The place to have the right attitude in life, even though the world out there is falling apart, it's only done though with those whose mind is stayed on the Lord, whose mind is stayed on thee. Go if you would to John 16, if you would, John 16. So an excellent spirit, what they'll do is they'll roll with the punches. Because look, things are constantly changing. And look, some people, if you make one change in their life, then they're just bent out of shape over the whole thing. But look, life is changing. And just be okay with change. Be okay with the changes that come in your life. Don't be the person who's constantly complaining when something changes. And realize that if life changes, realize that God does not promise that life will go your way. God does not promise you that your life will go your way, because isn't that what you and I want? Look, you and I, what I want is I want life to go my way. I want people to treat me the way I want them to treat me. I want the sun to shine upon my life. I want the sun to shine upon my finances. I want to be healthy. I want to be wealthy. I want to be wise. I want things to go my way. But you know what? God does not promise you that your life will go your way. In fact, he promises the opposite, that life will be difficult, that life will be hard. John 16, look at verse number 33. It says, These things have I spoken unto you, in verse 33, it says, that in me you might have peace. Notice the promise we have from Jesus. It says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. See, does God promise that life will go my way? No, God promises, hey, in the world, guess what? You will have tribulation. Does it say complain about it? Does it say get all bent out of shape about it? Does it say have a bad attitude about it? Notice what it says. It says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see, when it comes to the changes in life, to the hard times, the trials, the tribulations in your life, God doesn't want you to complaining. He doesn't want you murmuring. He doesn't want you disputing. He says, you know what? Hey, be of good cheer. Notice what it says. It says that in me, in who? In Christ, in me, ye might have peace. And so realize that God does not promise you that your life will go your way. It probably won't go your way. In fact, God promises hard times. God promises tribulation. Should we complain? Should we murmur? He said, no, be of good cheer. Have a good attitude. Don't be a complainer. Just learn to roll with the punches. Look, things are going to change in your life. You should learn to be okay with that. Go back to Daniel 1. So number one, an excellent spirit, what do? They roll with the punches. Daniel chapter 1. But number two, an excellent spirit is respectful to others. An excellent spirit is respectful to others. And throughout Daniel, we see Daniel interacting with other people, interacting with the world. And if there's one thing that you see the way Daniel is towards people, is that this man Daniel, he is a respectful and kind person. He's not rude to people. He's not harsh with them. No, he's kind and he is respectful. And look, and if you're going to have a good, excellent spirit, you must be respectful to others. Daniel 1, look at verse number 11. Daniel 1, 11, it says, then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So here we have Daniel talking to Melzar, who has the authority over Daniel in prison. And I want you to notice how this man Daniel speaks to Melzar. It says, notice in verse 12, it says, prove, notice what he says, thy servants. You see, Daniel looked at Melzar and he says, you know what, prove thy servants. He's saying, Melzar, I am your servant. He's not rude. In fact, he's very respectful. He calls himself his servant. It says, prove thy servants. Notice, I beseech thee. He's just being kind. 10 days and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. So here we see Daniel being respectful to Melzar, allowing himself to be lower than this man who is over him in prison. And we see this man, Daniel, having a good spirit. Why? Because he's being kind and respectful to other people. Go to Daniel 4, if you would. Daniel chapter number 4. Daniel chapter number 4. You see, what made Daniel different to the world? It was the fact that he was kind and respectful to those he interacted with. Daniel 4:19, here we have Daniel speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. It says, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonied for 1 hour, in verse 19. And his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, notice how Daniel responds to the king. Notice what he calls him. He says, my Lord. Now, when he says my Lord, he's not calling him the Lord God. He's just referring to the fact that he is in charge, that he is the king. He's calling him his Lord, his ruler. It says, my Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. Notice verse number 24. It says, this is interpretation. Notice, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon, notice, my Lord, the king. You see, what kind of interaction did this man have with this king? He said, my Lord. He was saying, my Lord, the king, constantly being respectful, constantly being kind to the people. You see, this is what people looked at. Like when people think of you, what they're going to think about is the interaction that you had with them. And Daniel, the reputation that he had was that this man, he was a very kind, he was a very respectful man to those around him. And like you and I, we got to have an excellent spirit, meaning we should be kind and respectful to those in the world. Because if you ask the world, hey, what do you think of Daniel? The world would have said, you know what, that's a very respectful man. That's a very kind man. Go to Romans 12, if you would. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Because look, your name, is your reputation is connected to your attitude. And when people think of you, and when people think of me, when the world looks at us, all they know about us is the interaction that we had with them. Romans 12, look at verse number 17. Romans 12, 17, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. It says, let us provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 18, notice what it says. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, it says, notice, live peaceably with all men. See, the way we should treat all men, treat those in the world, is that we should strive to live peaceably with all men. Meaning that when we go out and we preach the gospel, we're not going out there to pick a fight. And look, and if the world wants to fight with us and attack us, let it not be because we were rude to them. Don't let it be because we had a bad attitude because we went out there to pick a fight. Like, and look, some people go out there literally just to pick a fight with people. There are soul winners who go out there just to try to engage in confrontation. And they think they're doing a service, but they're actually doing a disservice. They're making us look bad. And so when you go out there, you should try to live peaceably with all men, be kind to people, and look, and if the world wants to fight with us because of the truth, then that's on them. Don't let it be because we provoked them, because we were rude. Look, if the world wants to fight, then obviously we'll fight, but you know, it's not going to be because we're jerks about it. No, we're going to go out there, we're going to be kind, we're going to be respectful, we're going to do whatever we can to live peaceably with all men. And so when we go out there into the world, we should always seek to be kind and respectful. Go back to Philippians 2, if you would, Philippians 2. Philippians 2, and look for number 14 again. Philippians 2, 14, it says, do all things without murmurings. Notice what it says, and disputings. Disputings is what? It's just arguing with people. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. But notice what it says again in verse 15, that ye may be blameless, notice, and harmless. See, somebody who is harmless is not going out there trying to pick a fight with people, trying to harm someone else. It says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, notice, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. See, this crooked and perverse nation should look at us, and they should see people who are harmless. That we're not going out there trying to be rude, trying to harm people, trying to hurt people, trying to pick a fight with people. No, they should see us as being kind and polite. And if they want to battle with us because of the truth, then that's on them. You know, we can't do anything about that. But we should go out there seeking peace, being respectful, being kind to the world. Go back to Romans 12, if you would, Romans chapter 12. Not only should we be kind and respectful to those in the world, but look, we should be kind and respectful to one another in the church. We should be kind, we should be respectful to one another in the church. Romans 12, look at verse number 10, it says, be ye kindly affectioned, notice, one to another. It says, with brotherly love. Notice what it says, in honor, preferring one another. See, it says we should be kindly affectioned one to another, preferring one another. What does that mean to prefer someone else? It means that you're willing to put somebody else first. You see, the way we treat each other in church should be in a way where it's kind, where it's respectful, where it's not rude, where we're preferring those around us above ourselves. So I believe that, look, that you should refer to people properly. You should say, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Be kind, be respectful to people in church. Go back to Philippians 2, if you would, Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, it says, Philippians 2, 2, it says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. See, we should esteem others. We should have the same mind, the same love, the same care and respect for each other. How's it done? By esteeming others better than ourselves. And so when people think of your name, you know, in church or whether it's in your home, look, you should strive to have a testimony of being somebody who is kind and respectful, somebody who has a good spirit about them. Because look, that is what makes you likable. And when you look at Daniel, go to Proverbs 19, if you would, Proverbs 19. When you think of Daniel, people wanted to be around Daniel. You know, every king wanted to promote him. Every king wanted to be with him. Why? Because he was kind and respectful. And look, in the same way, look, people want to be around you based on how you treat them. And so don't be the person, and you say, well, nobody wants to be with me. Well, it may be that you're just not kind to people. It may be that you're just not respectful to people. You see, you should work on being the person who is kind and respectful. Proverbs 19, look at verse number 22. Proverbs 19, 22. It says, the desire of a man. Notice what it says. It says, the desire of a man is what is his kindness. See, the desire of a man, what makes you a desirable person? It's not the money. It's not the outward. It's not you being proud and arrogant or being a jerk to people. No, the desire, what makes you a desirable person, what is your kindness? Is how you treat other people. And when you look at Daniel, everyone who Daniel spoke to, they wanted him. Every king wanted to promote him. Every king wanted to be with him. Why? Because he was just a kind man. And so if you and I, if we're going to have an excellent spirit, we must strive to be the person who is kind and respectful to others, who is nice to people, who has a good testimony to people, who when people think of you or they think of me, they think, man, that person, they're just a nice person. They're a kind person. Go back to Daniel 6, if you would. Daniel 6. So number one, an excellent spirit, a good attitude, they roll with the punches. An excellent spirit is respectful to others. But number three, an excellent spirit responds with gratitude. An excellent spirit, someone with a good attitude, they respond with gratitude. Daniel chapter number 6, look at verse number 4. Daniel 6, 4, here we have Daniel under Darius. It says, then the presidents and princes, notice, sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now in this time, there are people who are against Daniel, people who are literally his enemies, and they're trying to bring Daniel down, and they're looking for an occasion against him. They're trying to find something against him. But notice what it says. It says, but they could find none occasion or fault. Neither was there any error or fault found in this man. His own enemies looked at Daniel, and they say, you know what? This guy is too great. This guy's so, he's just a great spirit. We can't find nothing against this man. So notice what they do. It said in verse 5, it said, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So we see Daniel's enemies. They can't find anything against his character because he's just too great. So what do? They decide to pass a law knowing that Daniel will be faithful to his God. They go to the king and say, hey, king, make it a law that if anyone prays to any other god or any other person besides you, O king, let them be thrown into the lion's den. Notice what it says in verse 9. It says in verse 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And look, this is bad news for Daniel. The fact that a law just passed that if he prays to God, that he's going to be put to death. And look, this would cause you and I to be in fear. This would cause you and I to change our attitude, right? But how did Daniel respond to this? Well, in verse number 10, it says, notice, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. So Daniel was aware that this law just passed. It says, he went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees, notice, three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. You see, what does Daniel do? Knowing that this law just passed, that if he prays to his God, he'll be put to death. He goes and does what he always does. He goes and he prays. But I want you to notice what it highlights for us. It says, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, I don't know about you, but if a law just passed, which, hey, a law may pass, that says, hey, you're going to kill all Christians. Like, you and I would be praying to God saying, you know what, God, stop this law. You know, get this away from me. Protect me. Save me. But Daniel went in, and what he did, as he always did, is he was thankful to his God. He goes in there, and he gave thanks to God. You see, what is it that you need to have an excellent spirit? You need to have an attitude of gratitude. You need to develop to respond in your life with gratitude. And look, there's always something in life to be thankful for. There's always something in life to be grateful for. Look, there's always something to complain about in life. Look, Daniel had a very good right to complain right here. But look, there's always something in life that you can be grateful for. Look, there are studies that show that, look, that being thankful, being a person who shows gratitude, that will make you a happier person in life. You just being thankful for the things that you have. And there's always something to be thankful for. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5, if you would. 1 Thessalonians 5. You see, how is it that Daniel maintained a positive attitude in life? It was because this man, a habit that he has was that he was thankful to his God. And look, you and I, whatever circumstances there are in life, look, there's always something to be thankful for. And look, and if you can't think of any, then my question for you is, are you even saved? Because if you're saved, you should be at least thankful for your salvation. If you're in this building, you should be thankful for your church. look, if you have clothes, thank for your clothes. For your home, look, there is always something to be thankful for. And look, we ought to teach our kids also to be thankful. Because look, when you think of a child who is ungrateful, who is not appreciative, you know what often accompanies that is a bad attitude, is a bad spirit about them. But when you find someone who is grateful, who is thankful, you will find a good attitude. 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse number 18. It says, notice, it says, in everything, give thanks. It says, in everything, meaning in the hard times, through the struggles, through all the policy and law changes that are coming, through whatever happens in life, it says, in everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And look, God is still on the throne. If we're saved, we'll never lose our salvation. Look, there's always something in life to be thankful for. Don't be the person who's just constantly complaining, always seeing the negative in life. Look, there's always negatives, but look, there's always positives too. And so be the person to have a good spirit who's always thankful in life. Go to Ephesians 5, if you would, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. In Psalm 107:1, the Bible says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We should be a people who the world looks at us and say, man, those people, they're different. You say, why? Well, because we're thankful. Because we appreciate that which has been given to us. Ephesians 5, verse number 20 says, in verse 20, giving thanks, notice, always for all things. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, how can I fix my bad attitude? How can I fix my bad spirit about me? I'm the person who's always upset about something. Well, learn in life to be grateful. Look, because look, when you can always find something to be upset about. You can always find something to complain about. But look, you can always find something to be thankful for. And we see Daniel, a man who, he could have complained. He could have changed his habit. You know what? He did the same thing he always did. He prayed and he gave thanks unto God for that which is given him. And so look, if you're going to have an excellent spirit, a right attitude that makes you different, you got to learn to respond with gratitude. Go back to Daniel 1, if you would, Daniel chapter 1. So number one, an excellent spirit, they roll with the punches. Number two, an excellent spirit is respectful to others. Number three, an excellent spirit responds with gratitude. Go to Daniel 1. And number four, an excellent spirit, the right attitude, the positive attitude, is resolved in their direction. An excellent spirit is resolved in their direction. You see, why is it that there are some Christians who might even come to church, who live the Christian life, yet they have a bad attitude? Yet it's hard for them. Yet they struggle with happiness. Why? It's because they are not resolved in their direction. And look, and if you're going to be happy in life, in the Christian life, you ought to resolve the direction of your life. Pick your direction, purpose in your heart. And if you would ask Daniel, hey, Daniel, do you have a purpose for your life? Daniel would have said, hey, I have a purpose in my life. Daniel 1, look at verse number 8. Daniel 1, 8 says, but Daniel, notice, purposed in his heart. See, Daniel purposed. Daniel was resolved in his direction. As he goes into captivity, Daniel already had decided before he even went there that he was going to serve the Lord. He had already purposed it in his heart. It says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You see, the only way that you're going to have a good attitude in the Christian life is when you purpose to live the Christian life. When you resolve the direction of your life. Because look, when you have a Christian who tries to do both things, who tries to live the Christian life and also live in the world, who's not resolved in their direction, who lives one way in church and lives another way in church, look, that will make you miserable. That will ruin your attitude. That will make you hate the Christian life. Because look, you can't do both things. It's going to make you a miserable person. You got to resolve the direction of your life. Go to Acts 20, if you would. Acts chapter 20. You see, what was it that gave Daniel an excellent spirit? It was the fact that he was resolved in his direction. The fact that it made no difference whether he was in Babylon, whether he was in Judah. It made no difference who his master was, who the king was. He was resolved in his life. He knew the direction of where he was going. Look, the only way you're going to have a good attitude in the Christian life is by you determining, purposing in your heart the direction of your life. Because look, there's always going to be a reason to quit. There's always going to be a reason to complain. But if you allow yourself to even open that up, look, you'll be miserable in life. So just pick a direction, get resolved. Acts 20, here we have the Apostle Paul. And in Acts 20, look at verse number 22, it says, "And now, notice, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem," verse 22, "not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Verse 23, "save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that what? Saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." You see, Paul is saying, I'm about to go to Jerusalem, and the life that is ahead of me is a life of bonds, a life of affliction. But I want you to notice the response of Paul in verse 24. It says, "But none of these things move me." He said, this doesn't bother me. This doesn't change me. It says, "Neither count I my life dear unto myself." Notice what he says, "so that I might finish my course," notice, "with joy." See, the Apostle Paul, he knew of the trials. He knew of the hardships, that bonds, that afflictions were going to be abiding in him. But he said, you know what? That's not going to move me. I'm not going to change. It says, "so that I might finish my course." How? With joy. And like, with what? With a good attitude. Being happy. You look, how is it that someone like Paul can live his life through bondage, through imprisonment, through being beaten, and still finish his life with a good attitude, with joy? How is it that he did it? Well, he resolved his direction in life. Notice what it says, "finish my course with joy," notice, "and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." You see, Paul knew that his direction, his purpose, was the ministry that God had given him. And look, in your life, realize that God has given you a ministry. God has given you a job, a purpose in life. And look, and the only way you will be happy in life, the only way you're going to live a purpose-filled life is by living your purpose. And realize that God left you here for a reason. And if you're not living that purpose, look, you'll sit here and be miserable and have a bad attitude when you just don't determine the direction, get resolved in the place where you're going. And realize that things may change. Hard times will come. Bonds and afflictions will come. But you ought to just resolve to live the Christian life. Go to James 1, if you would, James chapter 1. And so a Christian who is half in and half out, look, they'll be miserable for the rest of their life. Because you can't live two lives. Go to James 1. In Matthew 6, Jesus said this. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other." Look, somebody who is serving two masters, somebody who is not resolved in their direction, look, they're going to hate life. They're going to be miserable in life. James 1, look at verse number 8. James 1, 8, it says, "A double-minded man," notice, "is unstable in all his ways." A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Look, if you're going to be a positive Christian, have an excellent spirit through the bonds, through the bondage, through the trials, is by you just resolving the direction of your life. And realize, hey, if you're going to be a Christian, then look, be a Christian. And if you're going to live in the world, then hey, live in the world. But choose, because you're going to hate your life if you try to do both. It's not going to happen. To live one way here, live another way somewhere else. Look, just resolve. And realize, hey, hard times will come, trials will come, but you should be resolved in the direction of your life. And this is what made Daniel happy. What gave him an excellent spirit was the fact that he knew the purpose of his life. So number one, it said an excellent spirit. What do they do? They roll with the punches. Number two, an excellent spirit is respectful to others. Number three, an excellent spirit responds with gratitude. And number four, an excellent spirit is resolved in their directions. And look, when the world looks at you, when they think of your name, your reputation, they should think of someone who has a good attitude in life. Like, if people think of you as someone who has a bad attitude, then look, that's just a bad testimony. And so you should resolve, you should strive to be the person like Daniel, who it makes no difference where you are. It makes no difference the position, the circumstances. It doesn't matter what's going on. You're going to have a good attitude. You're going to have an excellent spirit. And this should set us apart from those in the world. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for your word and for everyone that's here. And I thank you for our church, Lord. And I just pray that you be with our lives, God, and help us to always remember that you're first in our lives, and help us to be pleasing in your sight, Lord. And I just thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, Lord. And I just pray that you be with our church, be with our lives, Lord, and help us to please you in all things, God. We love you, and we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.